Yeah, reading.
Sorry, I don't أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله، فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء، والله على كل شيء قدير. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون، كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله، وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها، لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت، ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا، ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا، ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. صدق الله العظيم. السلام
ما شاء الله. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from our students. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. May Allah the Mate and Great Hafiz of the Quran and Great Alim and Ulama of the Deen. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salatu wassalamu ala ash-shafi'il anbiya'i wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin ma ba'd. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. رب بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. We thank Allah عز وجل that after the blessed month of Ramadan, we are able to come back together, mashallah, and sit in the halaqat of dhikr, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا مَرَدْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا قِيلَ يَا رَسُولُ وَمَا رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ حِلَقُ الذِّكْرِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you pass by the gardens of Jannah, when you pass by the gardens of Jannah, then graze to your heart's delight. And they say, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, what are the gardens of Jannah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is where the dhikr of Allah ta'ala is being done, the gatherings of dhikr. And this is such a mubarak gathering is a reminder for myself, for everyone, why we should always be encouraged and reminded to come to these types of gatherings. Is that the angels, they come down from Allah Azza wa Jal, and they pile themselves before each other, and to the point that there is no space because of the fact that the angels, they fill this place with nur and barakah and khayr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. The angels surround such a beautiful gathering. And then what happens is they go all the way up to the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels very beautifully a couple of questions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, where are you coming from? And the angels say, Ya Allah, we're coming from a place of your dhikr and mention. Then Allah ta'ala says, have those slaves seen me? And the angels say, no, Ya Allah, they have not seen you. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them, said, what do they want? They want your pleasure and they want your Jannah. Allah asked the angels, have they seen my Jannah? And the angels say, no, Ya Allah, they have not seen your Jannah, but they desire it so much. And then Allah asked the angels and says, what are they afraid of? What do they fear? And then the angels respond, say, Allah, they fear your anger and they fear your Jahannam. Alas, have they seen my Jahannam? And the angels say, no, Ya Allah, they've not seen it, but they're very fearful of it and they're very worried of entering there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels and says, Ya Allah, O angels, I make you my witness that I have forgiven all their sins, those who are sitting in the gathering, and I've changed all their sins into good deeds. I've changed all their sins into good deeds. And then the angels say, Ya Allah, there was this one person who just came and sat in the gathering for some time. And then, you know, he ended up going and leaving, right? They said, Mullah's Shakil Bayan was boring. So they said, you know what, let's just head out. So in any case, so he left right away. And so then the angels, Allah says, even him, he's also included amongst them. Humul qawm la yashqa minhum jalisuhum. That they are such a people that anyone who sits with them will never be misfortunate. Anyone who sits with them will never be a shaqi, will not be someone who loses from the fortune of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us from such people, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. We picked such an important topic, especially after the month of Ramadan. And this is something which is what we'll consider a very big pandemic within our ummah, is that people all have the same exact problem. And subhanAllah, I received such a beautiful question today. I tell you, subhanAllah, you know, many times we receive many questions, right? Some of them are like borderline obnoxious. Some of them are like straight up kufr, right? Some of them are, mashallah, like really nice questions. And some of them are just beautiful questions. And generally the questions that entertain me and beautify, you know, really make me feel happy to answer is questions like people who are struggling and trying their best to perform salah, you know? So someone came up to me and said, I'm really struggling. I know salah is here, right? He says, I'm very well aware it's salah time, but I just can't get myself up. And I keep telling myself to delay and delay and delay. And then what happens is because he keeps saying to delay, he says, you know what? You know, you can take some rest. You wake up. Once you wake up, you perform salah. I guarantee this is not, this is probably, you're probably thinking that maybe I asked a question, right? So he says, I kept delaying and delaying. And then finally what happened was I felt like, you know, let me take some rest. And when I wake up, I'll pray my salah. And the next thing that happens is what? I missed the prayer entirely. So the next day comes, I said, you know what, I'll do it again. And then same thing happens with routine. He came up in tears, subhanAllah. That was really amazing to see, you know. And inshallah, I hope that we can have a nice conversation about this important, integral, principal part of deen. That the Quran, it makes equal iman and salah. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says beautifully in the Quran. That when the Muslims had changed their qibla, from the original qibla, which was towards Jerusalem, right, towards the Masjid al-Aqsa, and then Allah Ta'ala shifted it towards Makkatul Mukarramah. When that shift happened, the Sahaba were very worried and said, Ya Rasulullah, although we're praying towards the next qibla, some of our Muslim brothers have passed away before they could pray towards Makkah. So Ya Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam, what is the status of their prayers? So Allah Ta'ala reveals an ayah for this exact issue. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ Allah Ta'ala will not negate, will not ruin, will not invalidate your iman. And now you're wondering, the word is iman in this ayah. It's not salah. Because the ulama say that salah is such a big portion of iman. Allah Ta'ala says salah and iman are equal. Salah and iman are equal. That's when a person is praying salah, you can always make shahada this person is a Muslim. They came with a fatwa and said, Sheikh, there was such and so person in our community. We saw that they said words of kufr, they said words of disbelief, and they did such wrong things. And then the Sheikh asked them and said, they asked, what should be the ruling of such an individual? The Sheikh said, did he pray salah? He said, yes. He said, he's a Muslim. Because why? Because in the salah, you always say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abdu rasulu. Salah is a reviver and a rejuvenator of iman. It revives and rejuvenates iman. That every time you pray, your iman is restored again, subhanAllah. This is the beauty of the prayer. It is one of the most primary and fundamental acts that Allah has revealed upon all the Anbiya alayhimus salam. It is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He rewards with this. This Allah Ta'ala loves this salah so much that He made it one, the key to His pleasure, to the key to His Jannah. That if you want to get into Jannah, you have to make sure the keys are there, the teeth on your keys are there. And the key that Allah Ta'ala made to Jannah is salah. How beloved is salah? How amazing is salah? Allah Ta'ala mentions the amr and command of salah over 70 times in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala mentions the command of salah over 70 times in the Quran. Luqman radiallahu anhu in the Quran, when he's advising his son, so many advices he gives. Ya bunay, aqim is salah. Make sure you establish salah. We look at Zakari Ismail alayhi salam. In the Quran, subhanAllah, what do you find? That he used to be a person that he used to command his family. Ya'muru ahlahum bis salati wa zakah. Command his family with salah. What do you find when Zakariya alayhi salam wanted to have a beloved child before Allah Azza wa Jalla and say, Ya Allah, Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyibah. Allah, give me a pure child before you, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says, فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي فِي الْمِحْرَابِ Allah says, the angels called him while he was praying in the mihrab of Maryam alayhi salam. While he was praying salah, each and every single Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal has this Mubarak action, to the point that the most beloved of all A'mal, to the Anbiya alayhimus salam. Imagine this, subhanAllah. You are in your qabr. Allahu Akbar. Right? May Allah Ta'ala make it that we have nur in our qabr. May Allah grant us, mashallah, the blankets and pillows from Jannah. Jazakallah khairan. May Allah grant us, mashallah, window into Jannah. Ameen ya Rabbal alamin qabr, right? You definitely want to take some rest, man. Dunya was so long. It's exhausting being here, subhanAllah. You know, subhanAllah, I'm dying. Like, every day I'm dying and I'm still coming, subhanAllah. It's tiring. SubhanAllah, to get into your qabr and the first thing the angels tell you after everything, all this, you know, munkar nakir business, right? After that, then subhanAllah, take some rest, right? Just enjoy, sleep, right? SubhanAllah, you want to rest. And that's what it is, right? When you leave this world, Allah says, finally, aram karna, right? The Prophet ﷺ said to Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu anha, Fatima radiallahu was crying at the death, near the deathbed of Rasulullah ﷺ. And then the, Rasulullah ﷺ said, Laysa li abiki kalbun ba'da al-yawm. Allahu Akbar. That, oh Fatima, don't worry, after this day, there's no more hardship on your father anymore, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? He's saying that what? Once I get into my grave, there won't be any more hardship anymore. May Allah grant us a beautiful point, inshallah. Having said that, the Prophet passes by Musa alayhi salam's grave. When he's going to the Mubarak, the Mubarak Mi'raj, the Prophet passes by Musa alayhi salam's grave. And what does he find Musa alayhi salam doing in there? He's praying salah. He says, because why? Because for the Anbiya alayhi salam, the greatest of all rest is to be in salah. To understand that salah is your connection to Allah Azza wa Jal. What did Allah do? He sent down, he changed the heavens and earth to make sure you can get this from him. What do I mean? Is that he sent down Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. He sent the greatest of all creations to make sure this salah, the thing that you and I do regularly, to make sure that you and I can receive it. Allah said, I'm going to send my greatest creations to give it to you. So Allah Ta'ala said to Jibreel alayhi salam, go down to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. And now when Jibreel alayhi salam goes down, his action is what? To bring Musa, Nabi alayhi salam up. Right, so then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes up to Allah azza wa jal, and Allah Ta'ala says, oh Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take this salah and bring it down to your ummah, because I want to talk to them. The reminder for myself, of everyone, why do I pray? What's the point? What is the benefit? Allah Ta'ala says, I want to talk to you. This is my appointment with you. Malikul Quddus, the Malikul Muluk, the King of all kings, Rabbul Alameen, created everything. Created Qadr, created destiny, created Malaika, created Jinnat, Jannah, Jahannam, everything Allah has created. Allah Rabbul Alameen, He says, I made this 5 times daily prayer so I could talk to you. I took you out your mother's womb. I let you walk. I made you learn how to talk. I taught you Arabic. I taught you Huruf. I taught you to say Fatha Dhamma Kasra. I taught you Fatiha, Falaq al-Nas, mashallah. I taught you Surah after Surah so you can get in conversation with me. Allah says, I want to talk to you. SubhanAllah, do you need a better reason to go to salah? That subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala, He changed the heavens and the earth. He sent down the angel Jibreel alayhi salam and sent up Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, saying, I'm giving them something that you can always communicate with me so they'll never be alone anymore. It is the salah, mashallah ta'ala. It is this beautiful action that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us. This is the reason and reminder for you and I that we need to, inshallah, invest our time into this beautiful prayer. It is a Mubarak time, mashallah. It is a wonderful time. This life, subhanAllah, does not have a pause button. No matter what you find, time will continue to go. And it becomes so hard, wallahi. Life becomes so hard. You can imagine finances, bills, family, children, parents, stress, you know, anxiety, hardship. So many things come, kurubat, and difficulty and hardship come. And subhanAllah, I wish I could just press the pause button. Can I just slow down for 1 second? And that's what it is, right? When you stand up and you raise your hands and you say, Allahu Akbar, Allah says, when you, the ulama say that when you say Allahu Akbar, you're supposed to imagine that you're throwing all of dunya behind you and throw it all behind you and say, Allahu Akbar. Allah, you are greater than everything. Akbar means to be greater. So when you start your salah, you're supposed to say, Allahu Akbar. Allah, you are greater than all of my problems, all of my issues, all of my dunya. This is the last one. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, reminded all of us, Sallu salata muwaddi'in. Sallu salata muwaddi'in. Pray the salah of someone who's bidding farewell of dunya. If people are worried about their problems, going crazy over their problems, having anxiety towards their problems, now you need to remind yourself that as soon as you say salah, congratulations, life is over after this. You have nothing to worry about after this. Engage yourself in this last amal before Allah Azza wa Jal, and you'll be completely fine, inshallah ta'ala. This is what it means to pray salah. when a person is praying, we call this halaqah the heart of salah. The heart of salah. What does it mean when a person, how does a person become, how does he get the heart of prayer? What is it in the Quran? وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. When a person wants to become a person of salah, that you want to feel the heart of prayer, that you can ignore things and not imagine things and not think about things. Because unfortunately, the tragedy of salah is what? That you start salah and the dunya is not over in your brain, right? So we start salah and then you're still thinking about the same problems, right? The same exact issues that we had prior to the salah, we're thinking inside salah. Then subhanAllah, very famously, one person came, you know, after a dhuhr salah, and then he come to the sheikh and said, "Sheikh, you missed one raka'ah of dhuhr." He said, "What do you mean I missed one raka'ah of dhuhr? I don't miss one raka'ah." He said, No, I trust me, you missed one raka'ah of dhuhr." He said, "How do you know I missed one raka'ah of dhuhr?" He says, "Listen, I have four businesses, okay? And so every dhuhr salah, I check in every raka'at about each business and how much profits I made and how much I need to refill on inventory and stock. So then I prayed the first raka'ah, I checked the first business. Check in second raka'ah, I prayed check the second one. Third one, I checked. But the fourth one, I didn't get to check. That's how I know you missed the raka'ah." What we find is, subhanAllah, we can't seem to shut off dunya in our brains, and that's not what it is. In order to get the heart of prayer, you have to have khushu'. Khushu' in Arabic is when a person is trembling, right? They can't stand still anymore. They can't, you know, I'm sorry, they are so motionless, rather, they are so motionless because of their overwhelming fear and grief and anxiety. Okay, that's what it means to have khushu'. And I'll give you an example, inshallah, so we can get it, okay? So now the ayah of the Quran continues and says that a person will get khushu', alladhina yadhunnuna annahum mulaqu rabbihim. Those that continuously think that they are always in this conscious thought that I'm going to meet Allah Azza wa Jal. Mulaqu rabbihim, they're going to meet their Lord. When you become a person who's always thinking about that meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal, then subhanallah, you become a person that has khushu' in prayer. You will not be able to miss. You will not be able to think about missing and all these things. All this stuff doesn't happen anymore. Because the whole thing in my mind, brothers and elders in Islam, what is the most important thing? Why are we here? Why is the most important thing that I'm supposed to be here for? Am I supposed to be here for a job and children? Is that why Allah created me? I'm not saying they're not important. Don't go and quit from your jobs. Sheikh said that, you know, it's not important. It is important. But is this the reason why we're here? These are supplementary things, extra things. That if you get it, alhamdulillah, if you don't get it, it's from Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, the job, the children, the house, the car, the wife, everything. Is this why we're here? What are we here for? You and I are here for to fulfill the fard of Allah Azza wa Jal. That whatever obligations Allah has put into us in this world, we're here to fulfill those things. So you have to tell yourself, when people say that I miss salah, because it's not, you know, I don't know how I miss salah. I said, you missed the most important action why Allah created you in this dunya. You missed the action which Allah created angels for. The most beloved of all actions which Allah created specific angels for. Ruku'ah, certain angels are stuck in ruku'ah. Sujood, certain angels are stuck in sujood. They spent millions of years just in ruku'ah and just in sujood, subhanAllah. The Allah that says this is the action that is ibadur Rahman. The slaves of the Rahman, they are people that they stand before Allah Azza wa Jal and in sajda before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to remind yourself. When a person misses salah, this is the most important thing. This is why I'm here in this dunya. This is why Allah created me. That reason why I'm in this world is so I can pray my namaz, pray my salah. How could you miss such a thing? You have to tell yourself, I'm here only for these fara'id. I'm only here for these fara'id. Now you have to remind yourself that look, zakah is what? That you're supposed to give 2.5%, right? Alhamdulillah, it's 2.5%. Thank Allah, it's not 10%, mashallah. 2.5% you have to give of your wealth, right? It is the obligation. It is the payment that you have to give. Allah says, I gave you this much wealth. So now you give it back to me. As zakah, you give 2.5%. Salah is, if zakah is the sadaqah that you have to give on your wealth, then salah is the zakah. It is the sadaqah you have to give on your time. If Allah gave you 24 hours in the day, if Allah gave us 24 hours in the day, Allah says, my obligation to you, the thing that you have to give me in return, I gave you these 24 hours. Give me 5 minutes, subhanAllah. Really, how long does it pray salah completely, man? Mashallah, how about you guys? Rocket speed, subhanAllah. They won't even pause. Like, children won't even pause their call of duty, right? And all the different duty that they have to do, right? The Minecraft and the Roblox and all these different things. And I wonder, subhanAllah, let's say Allah that created a pause button. This is what salah is, right? Pause button. Pause. Just shut it off and just go. You know, when that brother came to me and asked about it, he said, how do I not miss prayer? I said that the first time that it, you know, I said very simply, look, it's very simple. The first time the thought comes, I have to go pray. What should you do? Just pray. You know, subhanAllah, it's not rocket science, subhanAllah. It's not complicated. What does shaitan do? Shaitan's objective is, in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَيُّقِعَ بَيْنَكُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ وَيُضِلَّكُ عَنِ الذِّكْرِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. More or less, right? It says what? He wants to create animosity and hatred between you, and he wants to misguide you, turn you away from dhikr and salah. So now what happens is what? What is shaitan's only action? Trust me. What is his only, like, you know, you have like bullets in the gun, right? You know, the ammo and stuff. What is the AK-47 of salah, of shaitan? What's the only thing that he tells you when it comes to doing ibadah? Do it later. That's all he does. Immediately when you hear do it later, who should you tell yourself? Where did that thought come from? Shaitan. Just tell yourself from shaitan. That's why the ulama said, that if you're not praying salah in jama'ah, then you should pray salah immediately when the waqt comes in. There's no delaying in that. For sisters, because they don't have to pray salah in jama'ah, they should always make the salah immediately when the waqt comes in. So subhanAllah, we have different recommendation times, mashallah, that you should pray at this time, recommended times. Those are for jama'ah. When you're praying in jama'ah, you pray in those recommended times. For people praying individually, then you're supposed to pray what? Immediately when the waqt comes in. Now what happens is what? When you tell yourself, oh, shaitan, you know, okay, I can pray a little later. I got 5 more minutes. You know, the game is still on. Let me just, you know, and then what happens? Oh, you got 5 more minutes. And then some problem comes up, right? Some random problem. Always some random problem. Something happens, right? And then, oh, there's an emergency at home. I have to take care of it. And then what happens is what? Man, Hanafi Asr, mashallah, thank Allah, you guys are Hanafi, subhanAllah, right? Because your Asr is so late, Allahu Akbar, right? SubhanAllah, you get an extra hour in the Zuhr time, subhanAllah. If it wasn't for that case, what would happen to you? Allahu Akbar. You praying what? We praying Zuhr. Like, at what time is Asr coming now? Like 6 something, right? 6:15, 6:20, whatever. Allahu Akbar, imagine, subhanAllah, we praying like at 6:15 Zuhr Salah. You know, then we finish like, oh, it's Asr time right now. And then what happens? We can pray Asr later. You know, not even the fact that we can just pray right now, just finish it. We say, you know, we'll pray later. So then it comes close to Maghrib time. And the Maghrib comes all the way to Isha time. And Isha, subhanAllah, if Allah knows, we will pray or not. You know, subhanAllah, why pray at the masjid? I said, this is the best reason why to pray at the masjid. Because you'll never miss your Isha. You'll never miss your Isha. This is the Salah, Isha, Salat al-Isha, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said very beautifully, he said, this is the Salah which was given to my Ummah, especially to my Ummah. This is the most beloved prayer to me. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say that if I could, I would delay Isha even more because it's the most beloved prayer. Because no one in the entire dunya is awake making ibadah before Allah. Why is Isha so beloved to Allah Ta'ala? Because that is the time where everyone's resting and taking breaks. And you are standing before Allah Azza wa Jalla in namaz. SubhanAllah. How does a person become a person of khushur? I want to become a person of khushur. How do I get that feeling? The feeling is, for example, when a cop pulls you over. Okay? Now let me give you a couple of them so you can get an idea. Because I can't describe to you the feeling. It is something that mashallah, may Allah grant it to everyone. Because when we pray salah, we are enjoying. We are enjoying. Wallahi, we're enjoying. It is the only time, alhamdulillah, we get a break. No one is talking. No wife is complaining. Nothing, alhamdulillah. It's a good time. It's a good time. Mashallah. In Allahu Akbar. So in any case, the way you're getting khushu'ah, imagine, subhanAllah, you're speeding 40, 50, whatever, down whatever, trying to get salah, right, maghrib, whatever. In any case, you're speeding as fast as you can because you're coming late for halaqah, whatever. So you're speeding as fast as you can. And now what happens is what? The subhanAllah, Hazrat Police Saab is there, right? And then what happens? The lights go off and the blinkers, everything like that. And they're like, oh man. And then like, you know, now it's like this, you know, like he's holding this. He wasn't even holding the wheel. You know, he wasn't even holding the wheel. One hand was texting, the other one was like doing, or texting with both hands, whatever. So then he holds, now he's holding both of them. He's like, yes, sir. Would you need anything right now? You know, his voice becomes so low, you know, speaking like a lion all the time, mashallah. He looks like he's Fir'aun outside in front of the police staff. He's completely become like a little kid, right? Allahu Akbar. So now he's like, please, sir, do you need anything, right? So now this is khushu'. You don't feel like you can raise your voice anymore. There's no more strength to raise your voice anymore. You know, subhanAllah. If that was a little funny example, let me give you another example of a child, right? May Allah to protect us. But if a child were to run away from home, may Allah to protect, right? And now, subhanAllah, it's a very difficult thing when parents cannot find their children. And I mentioned this story multiple times about his brother Nafir Awal, you know, the boy that went up to the Alaskan mountain and he can't be found out, right? It's a very difficult process, right? When you lose a child, when you know the child is lost, then at least you can start to make grief and you can start to recover. But if you don't know your child is going to come back or not, or they may be there, may not be there. Imagine what the grief in the heart of that person is. Now, if you get that idea, understand what Yaqub alayhi salam went through for 40 years, right? This is the difficulty, right? May Allah bring him back home, inshallah ta'ala. The thing is that imagine a child who leaves home. He runs away, he gets so angry or something. And he flees from home. And now, subhanAllah, the whole night goes. And he just says, I'm not going to come home. Now he's just walking around doing some things, right? And then subhanAllah, the child, it kind of comes to understanding the parent, he's like thinking his mom and dad don't love him and things like that, right? And so he runs around at home and he runs around outside and he starts to go this place and this place. And around maybe like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., this realization comes in his heart that maybe I should go home. I don't have anywhere else to go. Where else can I go, right? The child is like maybe a little, really young kid, maybe 10, 12, whatever. He thought he can just run away, but he realizes there's nowhere else to go. So finally, what happens is what? He musters up the courage. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock goes, and he says, you know what? No, I should probably go back home, right? So then he comes back home, and what does he find? He finds that his parents, did they go to sleep? Wallahi, no child, no parent will sleep if they know the child is not home. That's not something you can do, right? That doesn't make you a parent, right? A parent is someone that will always worry and wonder about their kids. They saw that the parents sent out police to look for them, and the parents are crying, right? Now, subhanAllah, the child comes home, and now what does he feel? He's speechless. There are no more words that come out of the mouth. And just standing there, and he's just crying. And he says, Mom and Dad, please forgive me for what I did. That is how you're supposed to stand for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we always running away from Allah azza wa jal. We are always running away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, what happens is what? We realized that there's nowhere in this world I can run to. And there's only one person I can go back to. And so now he comes back to Allah azza wa jal. And he says, Allah, and he stands there in that humility and khushu'. Ya Allah, I committed haram before you. I committed sin before you. I made mistake before you. Ya Allah. And he's just standing there and just crying. And then what does Allah Ta'ala do? You think Allah's angry? You know, people are foolish. Everyone is foolish. Everyone says that Allah is angry at me. I say, you have no idea what it means to get Allah Ta'ala angry at you. We have no idea. Don't ask for Allah Ta'ala's ghadab. Don't even make a joke about it. Allah Ta'ala, he called you back to salah. If he didn't love you, you thought he would let you inside his house? Come on. So Allah Ta'ala, I'm telling you the story that I just gave you about the parents that would love to see their child. Allah Ta'ala loves you even more than the parents. Allah Ta'ala loves you even more than the parents. So when you come back before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what you find, Allah Ta'ala, he loves you. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Allah Ta'ala loves the tawbah of his slave more than one of you. That he ends up going inside the desert. The Prophet gives a beautiful example. He said the person goes out into the desert and he takes his camel with him and he's going and going and going. What does he find? In the middle of the desert, he lies down, he lies down for a little bit, and his camel runs off. Okay, his camel runs off. Okay, now when his camel runs off, and it goes, he can't seem to find it, can't seem to locate it anymore. Because he's in the middle of the desert, does he have any other way to survive? Absolutely not. The man is dead meat, he's finished. There's no other way. So now he is going, he lies down under a tree, and he says, you know what, I'm just going to wait till death comes to me. That's it. So he lies down like this, and he says, all right, Malakul Maut, come, ta'al. Tafaddal, Bismillah, right? He's ready. So he lies down and the Prophet said he closes his eyes. And then when he turns, what does he see there? He sees the camel with everything on it. And he becomes so happy. He says, Allahumma anta abdi wa ana ana rabbuk. He says, the Prophet said, don't say me, okay? The Prophet says, the man out of happiness and joy says, Allah, you are my slave, I'm your Lord. He what did he do? He flipped it because he just couldn't control the words, right? And then the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah Ta'ala loves that his slave returns to him more than the man found the camel return to him. When you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to recognize. Khushu' means that you stand and say, Ya Allah, what guna did I make? What sin did I make? What haram did I commit? Ya Rabbal Alameen, I can't even break up a single word before you. Think about it. Qiyam, right? You're in Qiyam. In Qiyam, subhanAllah, it's to remind you of Qiyamah. The day when you get to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually meet Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, when Allah Ta'ala asks you, now this is the thing, right? And when Allah Ta'ala asks you, you know, subhanAllah, you go into interviews, right? And you have to get your citizenship or whatever. So you go in for the interview, okay? So now they ask you your name. You say Abdullah. And then what's your last name? Abdul Mateen, whatever, right? And then you give that, right? And now they ask you certain questions, right? They ask you like weird questions, wondering like who's the first president, who's on the dollar bill, whatever, whatever, right? Now, what is the first question Allah asks you on the Day of Judgment? That's in the grave. What do you ask on the Day of Judgment? The first question on Qiyamah is what? Your Salah. It is the first. أول ما يحاسب به عبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. The first question that will be questioned about on the Day of Judgment. The most important question on the Day of Judgment. The most critical question. That if you can answer this first question on the interview, then you know the guy will get easier afterwards. Right? That if you answer the first question nicely, if they ask you, are you a terrorist? And you say, no, absolutely not. What do you think this is, man? What the heck is this? Is this a trick question or something like that? And you say no, and they're like, okay, the guy, he seems like he understands English, mashallah. Then what happens? The questions get easier. So what does Allah Ta'ala say on the Day of Judgment? Look, I gave you Salah to do every day. You really can't mess this question up. like this is the thing, right? I don't know if it's like this nowadays, but SATs in our time, that the just to put your name down gave you 200 points. I don't know if that's the truth nowadays, but yeah, you get 200 points just for writing your name. They made the first question very easy. So you find yourself being successful, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I wrote the first one, mashallah. Right, good job. So Allah Ta'ala said the first question for you, Salah. You've been doing this every day, 5 times a day. This is the regular thing, subhanAllah. And then what does Allah Ta'ala do? In your favor. Allah Ta'ala said that if you messed up your fard, because what happens is what? Our fard is something which gets weaker. We sometimes we don't pray the level. The Prophet ﷺ said, when a person prays salah properly, he gets one full reward. And if it doesn't go the way he wants, it doesn't go that level, then Allah Ta'ala gives him half. If it's not a half, he gets a third. If it's not a third, he gets a fourth. And it continues to reduce. And some people, may Allah forgive and may Allah perfect our prayer. But some people, our salah is so bad, the salah is actually thrown into our face as if the salah hated us. Be careful. Hafidhu ala salawa. Preserve your prayers. Make sure in your prayer, inshallah. Many times we don't learn a lot of masail, right? We don't know about wudu masail. We don't know what breaks wudu. We don't know how to pray sometimes properly, right? How do we stand? Which way is the proper qiyam? Where do we put our fingers? Right? Where do we do our ruku? How do we do all these things, right? We should get someone checking us. This was one uncle, subhanAllah, came. I felt very embarrassed. He said, can you just check if my positions of prayer are good? And then he showed me, he's like, is my fingers okay in sajda? Is my ruku, is my finger spread out, right? SubhanAllah. He says, my back straight? I said, SubhanAllah, you should be checking me. I don't need to be checking you. La ilaha illallah, right? It's a SubhanAllah. We have to make sure. One guy, I was praying next to him. Allahu Akbar, man, SubhanAllah. You know, because we love salah, really, we do, right? So we're praying in another masjid. And the guy next to me, like, you know, SubhanAllah, I'm trying to focus, right? So I put my, you know, there's a discussion about how do you do your finger, okay? So the madahib are different about the issue about how do you place your finger. So like in certain madahib, they'll just keep their finger up when they say ashhadu la ilaha, and they keep it extended the entire time, right? And then some of them will just, you know, make like a small circle with this finger, right? Some people are, they don't know this masala, so they start like wrapping, like they're making like some weird taweez or something, you know, just, whatever. In any case, yeah, so they're like that. And then the our madhab, it says when you do, because to combine all the hadith on the topic, we say when you say ashhadu la ilaha illallah, you're supposed to drop the finger and then keep it as a circle, right? It's supposed to be kept as a circle. Sometimes you put it down completely straight. That's not correct. When you do it, you're supposed to say ashhadu la ilaha illallah and then drop it like so. Okay. Again, it's specific to our madhab, the way we understood all the hadith being put together. I was praying next to another and a guy next to me, right? And I just told you what you're supposed to do, right, with the finger, right? So I don't know. SubhanAllah, the guy was like, ashhadu la ilaha. His hand, this is what he did. His hand came up this much. I was scared. I was like, what is happening? Why are you doing this? And I thought it was one time. So the next thing, Allah gave me tawfiq to pray next to him again. And I saw the same thing again. And subhanAllah, he left right away, or else I would have told him, brother, where did you learn to do this? I just told you different madhabs. I don't know any madhab on this one, okay? SubhanAllah, sometimes we don't know. We didn't learn. Who taught us? Right? SubhanAllah. You know, Allahu Akbar, like these great ajeeb. Like for sisters, for example, right? They're supposed to pray the way sisters are supposed to pray. And unfortunately, the attitude of this ummah has become that they read a hadith by themselves and they think that they understood the hadith completely. Not realizing hadith is a very big, thorough topic, right? So then they read the hadith and they say that the Prophet says they pray like the way you see me praying. And so then they think that the men and women prayer are exactly the same. Not knowing that Ali radiallahu anhu, when he taught sisters how to pray, he said when a sister should pray, she should condense herself because their prayer is not like the prayer of a man. So she's supposed to actually put her hands onto the ground. A sister reads a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited that a person put their elbows on the ground like a dog, right? And so then a sister reads this in Sahih Muslim and she thinks that this is referring to women, but she doesn't realize the Prophet ﷺ was not saying this in the company of women. He was saying in the company of men, right? So the Prophet ﷺ was telling them, put your hands up. For a sister, she should put your elbows onto the ground and pray, like, again, condensing and squeezing herself. But what happens is what? No one teaches us. We start becoming our own sheikhs. You know, we become our own mufti. And then we start giving fatwa on our own. I challenge you on Qiyamah. Ask yourself, do you want to come before Allah? And Allah said, I gave you a method that has been accepted by the ummah for 1400 years. That the ummah, the women of the sahabiyat, have been praying like so. That no madhab has ever endorsed this type of prayer where a woman is praying. Imagine how embarrassing it looks. I just want to mention, just for nasiha purposes, you know, imagine you are praying with the sajda, like when a woman prays like a man is praying, with her, when sajda like so, do you understand? Like her stomach is away from her thighs and everything like that. She prays. It looks very. Do you understand how, if you saw a woman praying like that, how embarrassing it looks? It doesn't look good. So a sister should remind herself that Allah has made her salah for satr and hijab. Right? And one time a sister came and said that, well, what is the delil? Aren't men and women's ibadah supposed to be the same? I said that, no. She's like, what? I was like, no, how could you say their ibadah is the same? I said, when we go for ihram, what do I wear? What do you wear? What do I wear? What do you wear? And she said, I said, I have to wear my, you know, this one clothing on top and clothing on the bottom. You know, it's a very restricted. What do you have to wear? You can wear whatever you want. You know, ibadah can change between men and women. Allah designed it based on the gender. There's nothing against that. We have to learn these things. Who's going to teach us if no one teaches us, right? We should go and ask these questions, inshallah. May Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Any case, I mentioned these things because of the fact that we need to learn. Hafizu ala salah. Make sure we're preserving our prayer the way it's supposed to be performed, inshallah ta'ala. And then you, inshallah ta'ala, you will gain something which is very, very precious, which is when you are someone who's concerned about the prayer becomes concerned for you. Hafizu ala salah in Arabic, when you're using hafada, you hafizu, it means that you're guarding something, and that thing that you're guarding is trying its best to guard you. For example, the word qatala in Arabic means that I'm fighting someone, and that person I'm fighting is fighting me back. So when you do hafada, it means that I'm trying to preserve the prayer, and the prayer is saying, you know what? I'm trying to profess to preserve you too. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, when someone came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, so-and-so sins, so-and-so he steals every night. He goes on and commits thefts. And then, Ya Rasulullah, what should we do about a person? The Prophet ﷺ asked him one question. Does he pray? Does he pray? And then the man said, Ya Rasulullah, yes, he does. He said, don't worry. The salah will soon stop him from his bad actions. This is the thing. People say, I don't pray because I'm not a good person. I don't pray because I'm not a good person. And I wonder and I think for myself and I think, subhanAllah, who is a good person out here? Allahu Akbar. Who is the guy that they think that this is salah is for them? That's never been found. Salah is made for sinners so you can get tawbah. Salah is made so that Allah Ta'ala can help you to remove yourself from the bad deeds. When people say, I need to get my life in order, then I'll start praying salah. I said, no, get your salah in order. And then your life will come into order. If you don't get your salah in order, there's no way your life will come into order. Because Allah did not create you to get money or to get a house or get children. Allah created you so that way you can worship Him. مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah says, I only create mankind and jinn so they may worship me. So now, subhanAllah, someone who says, I don't wear hijab, pray salah. A person says that I have this issue with drinking, pray salah. A person says, I watch haram things, pray salah. When I listen to music, pray salah. You know, pray. There's no reason for you not to pray. Literally, there's no day in the year. Is there any exception in the year that you don't have to pray? It is literally the only thing that you have to continue to do. Even to the point of a person on their deathbed, la ilaha illallah, have to keep going, subhanAllah. There's no break for these things. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us this. And I remind men, subhanAllah, I remind men the importance that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave for the jama'ah, salatul jama'ah. That you come and you come to the masjid of Allah ta'ala and you perform your salah. If you're talking what it means to be a man in Islam, what it means to be a man, to be masculine, to have masculinity in Islam, that you come to salah in jama'ah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can imagine, subhanAllah, how sick and tired he was near the end of his life. Near the end of his life, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was someone who he could not come to salah, except what Ali radiallahu anhu said, we had to pick up the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he wanted to come to salah so badly that his feet were actually dragging into the ground so they can bring him to salah. And that's how the Prophet came for salah. Could you imagine how much he loved to do that? That's what we find about Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi. He's a great alim of deen. Mawlana Rashid Sahib rahmatullahi, he was someone that, subhanAllah, he performed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a time when he was very sick near the time of his passing. They had to bring him and he said, please carry me. So they carried him and they brought him to the masjid like so. And then when he came to salah, Allahu Akbar, he stood up for the salah still. He still stood up for the salah. And then they said, Sheikh Hazrat, and in order to make sure he stood up properly, there were people that were helping him stand up, you know, kind of helping him position himself. And they said, Sheikh, you don't have to go through this hardship. You don't have to go through this hardship. It's permissible for you to pray sitting now. You don't need to take this help. And he said, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah's opinion, that if a person can get help to perform his salah, he must do so. And that's what I'm doing right now. Allahu Akbar. These are people, I could tell you story after story. I don't have enough time. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, you have to remember this. I remember this. I remind everyone as nasiha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I wish, he said, you know, I would, you know, because of his passion and burning his heart, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I would tell someone to lead the salah because I hear that people, that men are praying salah at home. The Prophet said, I would command someone to lead the prayer and I would go and I would gather a bunch of these boys and I would collect firewood. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I would take the firewood and put it near the houses and set the houses on fire of those men who are making salah at home by themselves. Very stern, Rahmatul Alameen, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said such strong warning. This is a reminder for you and I that we have to take it very serious. The Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud said, whoever wants to meet Allah Ta'ala, yalqa Allah ghadan musliman, falyuhafiz ala hadhihi as-salawati haythu yunada bihinna. That whoever wants to meet Allah Ta'ala as a Muslim tomorrow, on the Day of Judgment, you want to meet Allah Azza wa Jal as a Muslim, then the Prophet the Ibn Mas'ud said, then you make sure to perform salah in the masjid wherever the adhan is being called. You have to make sure you make that a habit for yourself. Ibn Mas'ud he said that we used to see in our time, he said that if a man could not come to salah, he would make sure he's carried on the backs of two men so they'd be dragged till they could come to the masjid of Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, and no one missed jama'ah. Could you imagine this? No one missed jama'ah illa munafiqun mu'linun nifaq. He said, no one missed salah and jama'ah except a munafiq, that everyone knew this guy's munafiq. Allahu Akbar. This is the thing. He said, wa innahunna min sunanil huda. And these are from the sunnas of guidance. Right? Wa inna min sunanil huda. And he said that if you miss, walau taraktum sunan nabiyikum la dhalaltum. That these are from the sunnas of guidance. If you miss the sunnas of guidance, la dhalaltum, you will become misguided. So take importance to this, inshallah. I remind everyone because why? Because sometimes, subhanAllah, we get caught up in a lot of little actions. So we start protesting, mashallah. You know, and then we start going to certain places and start protesting. Or we start getting involved in certain like da'wah or certain activities and certain different things, subhanAllah. But what happens is when we were to ask people, mashallah, you're doing this protest before people, where's your protest before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where's your fajr? Where's your dhuhr? Where's your asr, maghrib, isha? I said, you know, sometimes, mashallah, sometimes not, you know, a little bit weak. I said, listen, everything else you do, if it's not on a foundation, it's not going to work. Now imagine Umar radiallahu anhu. Who's Umar radiallahu anhu? Big Sayyidina Khalifa, mashallah, Umar radiallahu anhu. He is Khalifa, mashallah. Now he's writing a very important presidential edict. He's writing a very important presidential note, like, you know, Mr. Biden here, right? He writes a very important note. He writes it to all the Congress people in all the different states. He has a certain message for everyone, right? So Umar radiallahu anhu has to write. He's writing to his all of his governors throughout the entire Muslim world, all of his governors. Very important thing. What does he write? He says, the inna ahamma umurikum indi as-salah. He says, he didn't write about finance. He didn't write about economics. He didn't write about politics. He didn't write about society, social things. He said, the most important matter to me, I think, is that it's your salah. He says, man hafidaha wa hafaza alayha, right? Hafidha deena. That whoever preserves his prayer and he's regular on his prayer, his deen will be preserved. Wa man dayaha. And whoever does not preserve his prayer, then everything else other than the prayer, everything else besides the prayer, he becomes someone who he will destroy and ruin those things. If he does not preserve his prayer regularly, then you'll find that all of his other actions will become also ruined and also negated. Imagine this, subhanAllah, this is what Muslims need to be concerned about. What is my salah? What is my status before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All you need to do is check your salah. All you need to do is check your salah. This is why we find, mashallah, such great ulama. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, I gave you stories, mashallah. Think about these ulama. Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahimahullah ta'ala. Sa'id ibn Musayyib was known as the leader of all the tabi'een. Amongst all the students of the sahaba, he was the best student of all the sahaba radiallahu anhum. So he was someone that, subhanallah, they said for 30 or 40 years, he would be inside the masjid before the azan. He'd be inside the masjid before the adhan because he'd make sure he would not miss his jama'ah. That's why what happened was in the time of the Prophet in the time of Masjid Nabawi, where there was a big fitna and there were people that were attacking Medina. And so now people could not come to pray in jama'ah regularly. And so then Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahimahullah ta'ala said, I will not let that the Masjid of Nabawi, the Nabi Sa'id's masjid, that people will not come to pray salah. So he said, you know what? I will pray the jama'ah myself. I'll go make the jama'ah myself. I'll make sure. So he said, when I would be there, he said, I will call the adhan. And he said, wallahi, this is his miracle, subhanAllah. Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullahi said that when I was praying, when I gave the adhan and I stood up for the salah, he said, I could hear the iqama coming from the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so I used to read the salah like so every single time. Allah blesses such individuals. We used to be people that used to be punctual, used to like to come to salah and jama'ah. I talked about this to people like, Shaykh, don't talk about that. Talk about good things, man. You make me feel good about certain stories. No, man, you have to improve yourself. People are saying, like, I'm getting worse after Ramadan. I said, yeah, if you're not getting better, you're going to get worse, right? SubhanAllah. You got to improve yourself. If you stop exercising, what's going to happen to your body? It's going to decay, it's going to get weaker. You have to tell yourself, I'm not making every salah and jama'ah. I need to start making salah and jama'ah. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, I just told you about him earlier. Maulana Rashid Salam Rahmatullah, he was at the graduation the Darul Uloom. And he said, subhanAllah, there were so many people around him. And Salat al-Asr time came. And so the Salat al-Asr came and they were waiting a little bit. They wanted Mawlana Sahib to come and join the prayer. But there were so many people crowding him because it was a graduation day, right? It was difficult. So then what happened was, he started the Salah and he said, Allahu Akbar. And then Sheikh, you know, he heard the Allahu Akbar and he rushed as fast as he could. And he said, Allahu Akbar, as quickly as he could. He caught the Raka'ah. He caught the Raka'ah. After the Asr Salah, he was sitting there. And he's just contemplating and sitting there. And people asked him, said, Sheikh, what's wrong? What's the matter? You seem very disheartened, very depressed. He said, it's been 22 years. I have not missed the Takbir Ula. The first Allahu Akbar I have not missed. This is the first time. You know, subhanAllah, we had such people that cared about Takbir Ula. And we're people like, alhamdulillah, we caught the ruku. Alhamdulillah, it's good. It's good. But we need to improve. There's such people that love Salah. The Prophet used to tell Bilal, Ya Bilal, arihna ya Bilal. Bilal, give us comfort. They're in battle. They're in war. They're fighting. They're traveling. The Prophet says to Bilal, Ya Bilal, give us some rest. Give us some comfort. Stand in Salah, mashallah. We have to come for Salah. We have to come for Jama'ah. Okay, mashallah. The Prophet said, and this is the thing, Salah and every single portion of it has khayr and barakah, mashallah. That's why the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum craved and loved prayer. I'll mention two stories, inshallah, and then a couple of recommendations. One story is about the Sahabi, mashallah, Hadith Abu Dawood. This one Hadith, Sahabi, mashallah. You know, Allahu Akbar, when we pray our Salah, what surahs we choose? People are like, I don't want to say it. I just want to. Kawthar, Kafirun, mashallah. Or Ikhlas, sorry, Kafirun, Sulam, sorry. That's my bad. That's one of them, right? Kawthar and Ikhlas, Falak and Nas, mashallah. We're good people, may Falak and Nas, mashallah. Sometimes, you know, subhanAllah. Brother, we choose short surahs because it's Sunnah, problem. Whatever, man. Okay. In any case, the problem, you know, listen, you know, choose, memorize Quran. What's the point of memorizing Quran? What's the point of memorizing Quran? So you can make your salah longer. The whole point of Hifzul Quran is not for Hifzul Quran. The point of Hifzul Quran is that now you can stand before Allah with longer surahs, right? This is what the Sahaba used to do, is what we used to do, right? So that those two Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, mashallah, right? They used to stand up in prayer. One of them said, here, you take rest. They're on guard duty, right? So then one of them said, here, you take rest. I'll stand up. Don't worry. I'll take care of it. And you know, if anyone comes and stuff. So then one Sahabi, he went to rest. And the other one, he stood up and he just started salah. He said, what else am I going to do? Let's pray before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's praying, subhanAllah. Now the enemy sees him standing up. Big target, right? So then he takes out his arrow and then he shoots one into him, right? He shoots it. It goes right into him. And now the Sahabi, he just pulls out the arrow and he's still not moving, right? And so now the enemy, like, he's like thinking, like, did the arrow not work? So he puts another one on and then he shoots him again, right? And then finally the other one sticks and he pulls out again. He's still standing there motionless, right? And then finally he just ends up breaking it and runs after the enemy, and the enemy runs away. Now, amongst all this commotion, that's the Sahabi that was sleeping wakes up and says to the friend, he says, you're bleeding. He said, yes, I know. He said, why didn't you wake me up? He said, I didn't want to, I was engaged in Salah and I was reciting Surat al-Kahf and I was enjoying the recitation so much. And I didn't want to disturb that. I didn't want to disturb that, subhanAllah. You know, you know what Fajr, like, subhanAllah, we pray the Isfar time, we pray at the end of Fajr time. Right, because in terms of hadith of the Prophet, asfiru bil fajri fi nu'adam lil ajri, you know, make fajr brighter, you know, pray fajr a little later because it's more increasing reward. This is not for you people that are praying at home, okay? You come to masjid, inshallah, then you can pray that time. Everyone else is waking up like 5 minutes before and they're like, okay, I caught one rak'ah in fajr, one rak'ah in the sunrise time. MashaAllah, tabarakallah, good job, man. Just wanna make it inside the, if you are doing that, make it inside the waqt, please, okay? You're praying one salah, one rakah in the halal time, one rakah in the haram time. La ilaha illallah. Pray inside, inshallah ta'ala, right? So now there's a difference of opinion. Some scholars say that you're supposed to pray fajr in the beginning, in the darkness, right? Right when fajr time comes in. And some ulama say that you're supposed to pray at the end of fajr time, right? There's differences, right? Why is there a difference? Because sahaba, when they used to pray fajr, Imam Tahawi says they used to start from the beginning of fajr time and end at the end of fajr time, right? So this is why you'll find with sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, people are like, what? How? Uthman radhiyallahu anhu, he used to recite Surah to Yusuf, right? The whole Surah Yusuf within the Salah. What you find about Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to read Surah Ali Imran. Surah Ali Imran. If you heard Imam Sahib start Surah Ali Imran, you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you run out of the masjid. I'm not going to be standing. How long are you going to be standing in Surah Ali Imran? It takes us about 2 days, right, in Taraweeh to finish it, right? Right? That's a long time. Where did he learn it from? He learned it from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to recite Surah al-Baqarah in Fajr. So to Baqarah, people are like, no, please, we make tawbah, we'll come. Yeah, that's good. I give you forgiveness, inshallah. You come, okay? The thing is that Sayyidina, so that's why when they used to pray, and you know, what happened was what? They used to pray so long, so then some of the people in the gathering, you know, in the jama'ah, used to look at the shadows and the brightness, and they used to get worried. And so they were looking like, well, did the sun come up? Did the sun come up? And so then after Salah, they were like, Talat, Talat, maybe the sun came up, maybe the sun came up. And then they went to Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr, we think the Salah, we think the sun has come up. He said, Law Talat, Lam Tajidina Ghafilin. He said, even if it rose, the sun came up, it will not find us neglectful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, forget it. If it rises or not, mashallah, we are people that were worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how they were, mashallah. And so we need to become people, inshallah, become regular in prayers. Become a person who, when they come to salah, they become excited. Listen, it's the most important thing. There's nothing more important than salah that you can do in your entire life. Nothing more important than salah. If it becomes that important to you, as soon as the time comes in, you'll get up and say, Allahu Akbar. Or you'll make a schedule to come to the masjid of Allah Ta'ala. And now what you need to do is you need to boost up your salah with other nawafil and shalata. Make sure you don't miss these extra things. So the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu are many, mashallah. There are many nafal things you can do throughout the day. I would recommend a couple of them, inshallah, just for, you know, for the sake of time and brevity. So the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about Salatul Awabin. Awabin has been described as a salah after Maghrib salah, right? That you pray six rakats after Maghrib. You pray two, 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 right? You pray those six, right? And now they mention about this, that the Prophet ﷺ said, one narration mentions that a person will be forgiven for 12 years. The hadith is admittedly a little weak. But the thing is that this is something which has been performed by the Sahaba and the Tabi'een so much, mashallah. That's why Anas radiallahu anhu said, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ When he's making tafsir of the Quran, he says this means when they don't rest at night, it means that they spend time in awabin, they pray from Maghrib all the way to Isha. That's in Hadith of Tirmidhi you find, one hadith says you pray six rakats, another hadith says you pray 20 rakats. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, mashallah. And so they mention about it, one hadith that Sayyidina Ammar bin Yasir, He said, Ammar said, Muhammad said, I saw Ammar bin Yasir, my father. He said, I saw my father Ammar praying after Maghrib, six rakats. And he said, Father, this is beautiful. What is this? He said, I saw my Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he used to perform six rakats. And he used to say, this is another hadith. He says, whoever prays six rakats after Maghrib will get all of his sins forgiven, even if they're equal to the foam of the sea. Another hadith says, whoever offers six rakats after Maghrib will be given the reward as if he has 50 years of forgiveness. That's why I tell people, subhanAllah, when you hear one hadith that tells you a certain number, don't picture Allah is greater than that. Allahu akthar min hada. Allah can do more than that, inshallah. So in any case, that's one thing. Another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ which says about a person who wakes up in the morning. Salatul Ishraq is something that we don't take advantage of. I highly recommend take advantage of Salatul Ishraq. They call it duha. So there are about 12 rakats you can pray. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, it mentions in a hadith of Tabarani, it's a good hadith, it says, whoever prays the two rakats of duha, okay? The first thing mentions that whoever prays the salah in jama'ah fajr, and he stays sitting there until the time when ishraq comes in, which is about, you know, maybe 20 minutes after sunrise. If you stay there sitting the entire time, and you say Allahu Akbar, you pray those two rakats, the Prophet ﷺ says you get the reward of complete hajj and umrah, mashallah. And if you pray another two rakats, Allah will take care of all your needs for the day. The Prophet ﷺ then says, whoever prays two rakats of duha, He will not be counted among those who are ungrateful to Allah. Whoever prays four rakats, he will be considered from the abideen, those who are devoted to Allah. Whoever prays six rakats, Allah said, I'll take care of all your worries of the day. Another hadith says, eight rakats, Allah Ta'ala will write your name amongst the muttaqeen, amongst the pious. Whoever prays 12 rakats in the morning, that Allah Ta'ala will write for him a house in Jannah, subhanAllah. There's so many rewards to this, mashallah ta'ala. I can't stress this enough about the beauty and importance of prayer. You should, inshallah ta'ala, in those times, after Maghrib, inshallah, take advantage. You know, people are waiting for food, right? And I see that, subhanAllah, everyone just engages in talk right away. Like, as soon as we say, Allah, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Hey man, what's up, man? How you been, man? How's the game and everything? What are you thinking about, a game in Salah or something, subhanAllah? Stand up, pray two rakats, pray four, pray six, right? MashaAllah, spend some time in ibadah. People are thinking like, Ramadan is coming, right? I was like, subhanAllah, what did you do in Ramadan? You sat down, you did ibadah. If you live life like Ramadan, inshallah, Ramadan will never leave you, okay? And if you pray, live your life like Ramadan, Allah will give you Eid, inshallah, in the hereafter. So may Allah grant us all tawfiq, inshallah. Allow us to become people, inshallah, ta'ala, that really value this prayer and really love this prayer and really worship this prayer. I mentioned just one final story. I felt like the whole reason, just one last thing, inshallah. I apologize, went for very long today, actually. I felt like I read this story and I felt like the whole reason why I wanted to have this halaqa was because of this one story. Imam Zakariya, rahmatullahi, his teacher was Maulana. I just left my name. Khalil Ahmad Sahananpuri. Khalil Sahab Rahmatullahi. So he goes for Hajj, right? And when he's going for Hajj, in that time, You know, people are complaining about this nusuk. Is it nusuk? Allah help you with your nusuk, right? That's one of people are complaining about this. You know, subhanAllah. I just tell you, mashallah, you're getting an experience. We used to tell people that in the previous zamana, in the previous time, their difficulty used to be when they had to get to Hajj. And after they went to Hajj, alhamdulillah, the people during the time of Hajj would be very hospitable, very nice. And in our time, it's what? That's very easy to get there. And when you get there, now the difficulty starts, right? I tell people, subhanAllah, you are experiencing a blessing, mashallah. Because now you can tell people, even getting there is difficult now, right? SubhanAllah. May Allah make it easy for all of you. So the thing is that in that time, they had to go by camels. So like, they go through camels. So now, Mawlana Khalil, rahmatullahi, when it came to Salah time, he's Musafir, right? And so, but he doesn't want to miss Jama'ah. So then he makes sure that every place, every position, he makes sure to make sure Jama'ah. So then what happens is, because you have a camel, what's going to happen to the camel if you pray Jama'ah? If you have a very, like, you know, very angry wife camel, the camel's not going to stay in one position, so he just keeps running away. Oh, back there, right? Is he supposed to leave, right? So then what happens is what? When he starts the Jama'ah, the camel starts running. So now, Mawlana Khalil Sahib, rahmatullahi, I kid you not, it's mentioned that when the Jama'ah finished, he saw the camel running, so he started running after the camel, and he ran past the camel. People looking at him, why is he running past the camel? So he runs past the camel and he prays the sunnah that he's supposed to pray, right? For Zuhr, right? The sunnah afterwards. He prays the sunnah and now the camel's still moving and then it passes him. So he runs after, he catches it again, right? And then what happens is what? Asr time comes. There's sunnah of Asr. So then what happens is he puts the camel down, he prays the salah and the camel starts running. So then he runs after, he grabs the camel again. Then he catches the jama'ah and then he prays, mashallah, two rakats and then the camel keeps going. And he said, when he was, this process went the whole day. They said, because of this process, he ran miles, right? And then he said, after all of this, Allahu Akbar, he said, Wallahi, he said, Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah Ta'ala that he made qasr. Because if I had to run four rakat length of salah, if I had to run after the camel after four rakats, it would be much harder than praying after two rakats. Allahu Akbar. May Allah Ta'ala grant us this mahabbah for prayer. Allah has become people that when we pray in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, we stand before him with khushu' and stand with love and adoration. And may Allah Ta'ala make us that when we meet him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we become people, inshallah, that Allah Ta'ala loves, inshallah Ta'ala. May Allah grant us all tawfiq. Wa sallallahu Muhammad wa sallam ajma'in. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Faghfir lana ya Mawlana innaka antal ghafurur rahim. Rabbana la tu'akhidhna in nasina wa akhtana. Rabbana wa la tahmil alayna isran kama hamaltu ala alladhina min qablina. Rabbana wa la tuhammilna ma la taqata lana bih. Wa'fu 'anna waghfir lana warhamna. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم أحب إلينا الصلاة يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أحب إلينا العبادة يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أحب إلينا كل شيء يا أرحم الراحمين ما يحبك يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا ذا القوة المتين يا رحم الساكين يا الله يا أرحم الراحمين يا أسف forgiveness يا الله يا أسف المغفرة يا الله يا رب الكريم يا الله how many sins have we committed يا الله رب العالمين يا الله رمضان just ended يا الله we've gone back to life of غناء حرام يا الله رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا أرحم الراحمين Ya Allah, we raise our hands in dua to you, Allah, that you forgive us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Forgive us all our sins, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Rabbah Kareem, Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, connect our hearts to you, Allah. Ya Allah, you give us salah, Ya Allah, we're battling salah, Ya Allah. Rabbal Alameen, Ya Allah, please bring us, give us love of our salah, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Ya Allah, allow us that we drop everything for your prayer, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Allow us to become people that love your ibadah, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Rabbal Alameen, Allah, we ask you, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, to make us people that love the salah, Ya Allah. That when we come to you, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, that you love them, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Rabbal Alameen, we ask you for all the Ummah Muhammad, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, restore the prayer, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, Ya Allah, we become people that we say we're Muslim, Ya Allah, but we don't pray our salah, Ya Allah. Rabbul Alameen, Ya Allah, allow us to pray our five times. As sunnah, nafal, Ya Allah. Allow us to become engaged, Ya Allah, and become people that pray with jama'ah, Ya Allah. Rabbul Alameen, allow us to become, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. People, Ya Rabbul Alameen, that you love, Ya Allah. Make us from your awliya, Ya Allah. Make us from your friends, Ya Allah. Rabbul Alameen, make all the Ummah Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from your friends, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Rabbul Alameen, please give shifa to the entire Ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give afiyah to the entire Ummah, Ya Allah. Those who are trying to go for Hajj, Ya Allah, make it easy for them, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. رب العالمين يا أسر الرحمن الرحمين فجنة الفردوس الأعلى يا الله والنبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم يا الله يا الله allow us to enter جنة يا الله through the door الصلاة يا الله والنبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله We have a couple of minutes before, inshallah. If you need to make wudu, you can do so. Salah will be in a couple of minutes. Jazakallah.